Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us today from IBM is George Cruiser.
I'd like to look into the future a little bit, and based on your experiences both at IRS and at Homeland Security, what emerging technologies you see as promising for the CIO and the CIOs of the future?
Okay, let me mention a few from a technology perspective. I think in particular for DHS, it really is all about the mission, right, out there in the field. And so one of the things that the technology is changing so rapidly in is the use of personal digital assistants, right, or PDAs. And I don't want to get into brand names necessarily, but we all know what they are. We all use them every day in our lives. And of course, we're using them within DHS. But when you look at the Border Patrol agent out there, right, on the front line, as that technology continues to evolve and we can leverage that technology, the ability to get information to that officer out there in the field, the right kind of information at the right time for them to be able to effectively do their job is critical. And you take things like the Southwest border where, frankly, things like cellular coverage becomes an issue, right? I mean, we take it for granted here in Washington, D.C. area. You've got that kind of coverage. In many places in the United States in which we have to provide services and services that are at sometimes can mean life or death, that's very critical to us. So as those technologies continue to evolve, those are areas in which we're looking at right now. How do we help the industry evolve those technologies? And then how do we leverage those technologies within our infrastructure to support, you know, the agents out there in the field doing the good mission work that the DHS does? And that's one example. I believe that the whole area, we talked about cloud computing, that whole area of continuing to rationalize the infrastructure is an area that we're going to keep a close eye on because there's just so much leverage potential there that we need to garner. I'd also like to think, and this is, you know, it's been very difficult. I mean, large-scale government solutions, many of which legacy solutions that were built 20, 25 years ago, even more, right, that are maybe old COBOL-based systems, you know, millions and millions of lines, right, of business logic that are baked into those systems. And yet we want to modernize those things, right? We want to retire all of that. You know, technologies that enable us to do more of that more effectively, okay, that's a key area to me. How do we break out of this albatross that we have around our necks within federal IT of these legacy systems that nobody's fault, but they just weren't modernized over time. So we've got ourselves in a bad place with many of these legacy systems. It's very, very difficult to modernize them, yet they're absolutely critical to the day-to-day operations of many federal agencies. So hopefully, George, it gives you a little bit of sense for some of the technologies that we're trying to look at.
With all of this advancement, are the characteristics in the successful CIO, are they changing at all? Are there new things that the next round, you talked about really making your team successful? What are you driving in that group?
Well, let me say that I've always believed that a successful CIO it's not just about technology, right? And if you picked up on some of my critical things like governance and talking about bringing people together to make those kinds of key decisions, a lot of those are about business or mission decisions. They're not about technology decisions. And I believe the role of a CIO is to really be that bridge. The CIO should know enough. And I guess I have a bias coming from a technology background that I think it's a very good grounding to be a CIO, right? To have an information technology, strong technical background. That being said, it's not enough. It's not even close to being enough. To be an effective CIO, to bring that leadership, really means you have to be able to work well in a very heterogeneous environment like this. And be able to bring people together and really show them, I mean, even sell them on these concepts of how you can govern more effectively and bring people together to make better decisions for the department that then will enable us to bring technologies to bear to help mission effectiveness. And so that's a whole set of skills and experiences in CIOs that are well beyond the technology role. And I don't know if that's new per se, because I've always felt that way since I've been in the industry. I think that it's being more and more recognized as an important function, particularly within industry. I'd like to say within the federal government. I don't believe it's been as recognized in the federal government as much as it should be. But in industry, you look at the leaders in their fields in almost any industry today, and they really are out in front in leveraging IT to support their business, right, in almost every case. And I think we need to bring that same kind of viewpoint to how we run federal agencies.
Richard, you've had a wonderful career, both in the private sector and now, again, a second stint in the federal sector. What advice would you give someone who's interested in a career in public service?
I would I would encourage individuals that are on the fence as to whether or not they might go into public service or go into the private sector early in their career. I think a stint in public service is a very valuable thing to do. Now, of course, I didn't start my career in public service, so I don't bring that experience of starting in it. But I do believe the opportunities to have an impact early in your career. If you think of the government and large federal agencies as these massive bureaucracies in which you're lost, and yet I've seen so many examples where young individuals with good ideas and really persisting in good ideas or being part of teams can have tremendous impact on an area. And so I urge young people to really consider it as a way to get great experience, even if they only do it for 4 or 5 years, as a way to launch your career. And then maybe you move to the private sector, but maybe you come in and you absolutely love it and want to make a career out of public service. And then on the other side of it, for those of us like myself that have had successful careers in the private sector, I particularly urge individuals all the time to potentially consider a career in public service. It's got tremendous frustrations, don't get me wrong. I mean, some days I go home and I wonder, why am I doing this to myself? But most days I go home and I say, this is some of the most satisfying work I've ever done, even though it's some of the most difficult to make and bring it all together. Because when you do, when you advance the ball, and I really do believe we are advancing the ball in DHS. When you advance the ball, it's got such an important impact. In this case, helping secure this country. And it really does bring a real sense of personal, value with it that I like. And obviously, you all have to make your own decisions about the way you want to have your career go. But I have found it to be extremely fulfilling. So I urge people when they ask me about it to consider it and find what are you passionate about. And I'm sure that whatever you're passionate about, you can find somewhere in public service that matches that passion.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us again, for coming back to the show. But more importantly, George and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, Michael and George, thank you first for having me on the show. And thank you for that compliment. I believe I work every day to earn that compliment. And as I said earlier, it's really a privilege to be part of the federal government. And it's really a privilege, by the way, to be part of the Homeland Security team.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. My co-host from IBM has been George Cruiser. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.